This is Forces Radio.
This is BFBS.
BFBS. Original music specials.
Albin Lee Meldow.
Now then, it's me, Danny Parkinson, here on Forces Radio BFBS. Thanks a lot for having us along, wherever you are in the Forces world at the moment. Over the next hour, we're going to be getting an insight into the new Swedish protege, Albin Lee Meldow, an artist that's taking Europe by storm at the moment. 25 million streams, awards, and plenty of funny stories along the way as well. So to get a real taste of what he's all about, here's one of his latest releases. It's The Ways He's Gone.
Radio.
BFBS.
Albin Lee Meldow.
The Way It's Gone there by Albin Lee Meldow. Fantastic single, that one. A man who has risen to fame through Spotify, and his music's been streamed over 25 million times. It really is a busy year for Albin, so really appreciate him taking the time out to join us here on Forces Radio BFBS. Albin, I think you got a really unique and really, really talented voice from that single as well. I just wonder if you could tell us a little bit more behind the tune The Way It's Gone. Well,
first of all, thank you very much. It's not about a weight loss commercial. People have been asking me. It could be if you want it to be that. No, The Weight Is Gone is a bouncy, up-tempo, soulful track about when you love someone, you're deeply concerned, yeah? So imagine your missus is walking home from the bus stop, and then you're worried. You want to go meet her, and if you can't, then you're suffering. This song is about that point when you no longer feel like that, when love is over with, and how love could also be the worst thing in life. So yeah, that's about it.
From starting out a few years ago, obviously so much has happened, and I want to sort of go through the last few years and everything that's happened. But let's start off from the very beginning, because from what I've read up of you, from the sort of musical background from your family, it almost seemed destined to be you being a musician, Alvin.
Well, I wanted to be a footballer, first of all.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I tried to play football, but I played until I was 16, but I realised after playing in a Brazilian team that this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
I wasn't good, wasn't bad, but I could play with the good ones, you know? I thought they were good, the Swedes, but once we played them, it was no fun anymore. My mother is a music teacher and my father's a lighting director. My mother's from Sweden and my father is English, which is always the story, because there's no, I've never met a half an English man that had a Swedish, an English mum. So basically, both of them are vocalists, both of them are artists, and I grew up from a very early age. I played the trumpet and sang in choirs, and my mum was a bit like David Beckham's dad, like, you had no choice, you wouldn't get any food if you didn't do it. So that's how I grew up. I never thought about it. I never really had any choice. And I'm very thankful now, but I didn't used to like it then. I mean, it was like going to school for 2 hours after school every day. But yeah, very thankful now though. So I'm producing my mum's next EP. I'm working. My dad wrote the co-wrote the song called Lovers on my first EP. So I'm very happy and fortunate. I owe them everything, you know.
Looking at their sort of musical inspirations as well, did that have much of an impact on you as a musician?
Yeah, of course. My father's a British punk rocker.
BFBS.
Me being a major reggae fan, it's a lot of the roots reggae. My father's from South East London. Reggae's in our blood in a way. And he used to play in a reggae band before he came to Sweden. My mother is a jazz singer. She's really good. She sings Swedish jazz and she does African music like Salif Keita, Youssou N'Dour, that kind of vibe. So I'm very fortunate. And then me being born in 88, when I was like six, I got the first Tupac record. Shaped me immensely as well. They don't understand that part of the world. But yeah, so I've been fortunate to get a really broad selection of inspirations. So yeah, I mean, but the older I get, the less I look at it. I just look at the songs. I could listen to anything nowadays. But yeah, roots reggae, that's what I do. I can't really pick a song. I just press shuffle in my enormous reggae list or soul list, and then, you know, Motown or blues or reggae, that's where it is.
Sing it up, mister! Hear what I say, sir, yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah. Get your hands in the air, sir! Woo! Yeah. Then you will get no hurt, mister. No. I said, yeah.
I said, yeah.
What they say?
Some broad genres of music to come from, and talking about producing your mother's EP there as well. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic to hear.
Thank you.
And of course, you come from Sweden, well known for its pop. We've seen it quite a few times, and it seems very strong at the moment as well, and has historically. What do you make of that and the sort of the roots there? Is that something that's some sort of inspiration on your music?
Of course. I mean, I just came back from LA for 3 weeks and now been in London and in the UK for a while. I mean, talent is in every country. Seeing with Sweden is it's such a small place and such a successful place, having all these huge companies and all these amazing writers like Shellback and Max Martin, and then ABBA. ABBA created the way we do modern pop productions in the world today. The Dancing Queen is basically the formula that you use for pop music. I've never been a fan myself, but the older I get, I realize their greatness.
Forces Radio.
BFBS. Albin Lee Meldow.
Sweden is 10 million people. The capital, Stockholm, is 1.5, I think. If it's even that, it might be 1 million. The greater area is like 2 million, so it's quite a small place. And I played in a band called The Magnolia, also available on all platforms, a soul band with my mates for years, doing weddings, doing busking, doing bars. And the thing is, if you do that well enough and for long enough and keep slugging away at it, you will be known, because these people have about 15 bars to choose from. So if you know which bars they usually go to and then just get your own, yourself on there, then you're laughing. So Sweden is a small place. Everybody knows each other, and yeah, we are very good at pop production. Otherwise, it wouldn't be like it is. I think Max Martin is now number 3. It's only Sir Paul McCartney and John Lennon over him in the Grammys world. So he will definitely be number 1 within 2 years, because he gets like 7 Grammys a year. So yeah, I'm very thankful for all the help and the encouragement, and especially the funding, you know, because in Sweden they've spent a lot of money on this thing. Music business is the 7th biggest commodity in Sweden, so it's heavily invested in, and I'm a proud Swede. But I get my good looks from my mum, and I get my humour from the English. So I mean, I got the best of two worlds there.
I was gonna say that's not a bad mix at all, that is it?
No, there's the joke though. I mean, my dad is beautiful, but I mean, I've never seen a half English with a Swedish mum. It's like, you know, it's a perfect mix. But yeah, Swedes are not famous for the sense of humour, but they're famous for other things. Like, we got a lot of things going on for us. And it's a beautiful place. If you ever get the chance to visit, you should, in the summer. Don't come in the winter, because you will die. I mean, it's as far from the south of Sweden to the north as it is to Rome. So, I mean, England is very small compared to Sweden. Sweden is the same size as California, exactly. So it's quite a big place for the small population, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I can totally understand
that. I've never
even
been up north.
Yeah.
It's like a one-day drive from... 1.5 days drive from Stockholm.
Ah, I see,
So it's, you know, there's only this little bit in the south of Sweden people actually live, and in the north it's basically Alaska, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can totally understand that.
It's the same, it's over the polar cycle, so it circle there. You get no, in the winter you get no no sun for 4 months, 5 months. Pitch black. But where I come from is just like... Northern Scotland, Aberdeen, same thing, but we get more snow.
Albin Lee Meldow.
Forces Radio. BFBS.
In my hometown, we have a statue of a seaman's wife, waiting for a loved one with teardrops in her eyes. Oh, with this handkerchief in hand, man, teardrops falling down her cheeks, waiting for her husband, all in vain as he's lost at sea. Well, if you never age, then one day I might turn back. This heart made a storm, could never crack. So send me my blessings, babe, from the stars staring back. Blow out my freak, my sweet, my catty girl. Oh, catty girl. Where you go, my loved one? I hope that you gonna find some ease. I tried too hard to be this person You could love, respect, and need. Well, if you never age, then one day I might turn back. This heart made of stone could never crack. So send me my blessings, babe, from the stars staring back. You blow out my free, my sweet, my Kattigan. Oh, Kattigan. Oh, Kattigan. Oh, Kattigan.
Kattegat. It's a treat for you guys. It's never to be released and never to be recorded. It's a song I wrote about my hometown of Gothenburg. And in my hometown, which is a fishing port, is where all the people left for America. One third of our population left 100 years ago. And we have a statue that marks the actual place where they all went from. And that's on top of this column, there's a seaman's wife. And she's standing waiting for her husband that is never to return because he's lost at sea. So it's just a tribute to my hometown of Gothenburg and the sea outside called Kattegat, which is a rough one.
Albin Lee Melder.
Forces. Radio. BFBS.
What do you make of sort of playing to sort of English crowds, and what have you made to sort of doing some of the gigs around? Because I know you've done a few gigs down in London,
yeah.
Sort of over the years as well, being up and around the country.
It's easy in England. People are funny.
Yeah,
it's like I went to Ireland. It was even more funny. People got a sense of humour, and I mean, English are famous for that. The banter on stage is like half of it. When I can do that and people actually understand what I'm saying, it's just amazing. Yeah, I love it though. I mean, I love the whole of the UK and Ireland. It's amazing to be here. Always good fun. Always.
That's fantastic to hear. And what do you make of touring yourself? Because usually it seems to be the bread and butter for a lot of artists. How do you take to it?
Well, I've not really headlined myself so much yet. I've been building it up. But I mean, I used to play 5 days a week, being a busker and a wedding singer, singing in bars. So I'm used to playing a lot more. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like a 9-to-5 everyday job. And I love it, mate. It's just what I do, of course. Nowadays, there's a lot more other things you have to do, though, like Instagram. takes up a lot of time. But, I love it, mate. The best place to play in the world, probably, is England or Scotland or Ireland. It's fantastic. Probably because they understand my jokes and what I'm saying. Like Americans, also good. Not as good, but still good. I don't mind, mate. I'll play wherever.
Mm.
But when I can speak the language, of course, it helps.
You look at, as you're saying, you've not headlined, but you've supported quite a few.
I've not gone on my own tour yet. I've not done the 150 shows in 150 days in the Midwest.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
But it sounds like you have got quite a lot on your plate coming up now, to be honest.
Hopefully, because, I mean, I don't want an empty plate, do I?
Albin Lee Melder.
Forces. Radio. BFBS.
Love is something. Baby, it is more than love. Oh, love is something, and I just can't get enough. What's closing in on me, oh my? What's closing in on me right now? Just like a boat out on the open sea, somewhere out in the distance, my siren sings for me. Like Moses, he did divide the waves, was saved as an infant to free the slaves. Oh, Lord. Something, baby, it is more than love. Oh, love. need your love. I need your love. Well, just like I'm starved. Well, I'm exhausted in this dress. Oh, I need a drink of water. Oh boy, I need it fast. Well, I'm stuck out in the desert, and all I can see, it's you on the horizon, yes, you waiting for me. Oh, love is something, baby, it is more than love. And I just can't get enough. I need your love. I need your love. I need your love. Well, I need your kiss. Well, I need your love. All I give every day. All love is something, baby, it is more than love. All love is something, and I just can't get enough. I need your love, I need your love, I need your love.
I need your love. Quite simple, really. I need her love. It's about me going back from America. We never see each other, but I need her love. It's keeping me strong on that plane ride home.
Forces Radio. Albin Lee Melder.
BFBS.
It seems like you've had some great artists working
alongside.
Yeah,
I've been blessed with a lot of amazing people. You know, you have to pinch yourself when you do this. I mean, I got an award from Tony Visconti, and I play hip-hop with Scott Storch, and then, you know what I mean, I get Jimmy Napes to write a song with me, and I mean, that's just unbelievable. So, you know what? They say never meet your heroes, but that's not true in the world of music. No one on that level is there for no reason. So you just try to soak up as much knowledge as possible from these Grammy-winning superstars. So that's songwriters. It's what impresses me, really. Of course, I've not met Emmylou Harris yet, so she would probably impress me. But, yeah, I've met so many great people these 3 years that it's all blending together, really. But yeah, there's some, every country has their own vibe, and you just have to know where to look.
You were talking there about the awards and so on, and you've been picking up awards along the years as well.
I've got the award from Reeperbahn Award in Germany, which is the Great Escape. I was runner up in the American one, South by. But you know, I'm very happy, and it's an honour to get an award, but I believe that music isn't a competition, but life is a struggle. And to be honest with you, I find it a bit silly. And when Bob Dylan didn't turn up to the Nobel Prize, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. So I don't think you should compete in music, even though if you want to give me an award, I'm not going to say no, am I? But yeah, I'm not focusing on that. I'm focusing on my stories, trying to get them across. I consider myself a storyteller. So, I mean, the stories is everything for me. And of course, I like a good singer, but Bob Dylan and Bob Marley and the rest of them great, the Beatles, the great songwriters, is what impressed me.
And you're talking there about being a storyteller, and you really have taken on some big subjects, mental illness. They can be quite hard things to cover, maybe from the outside looking in. How is it to deal with that sort of subject matter?
Well, like I said, growing up where I grew up and how I grew up, it's a natural part of me and what I've had to deal with in my life. Like I said, this is a diary of a 27-year-old megalomaniac, highly sensitive, just trying to come across as easy to perceive as possible, trying to make it relatable. And I mean, I am a hopeless romantic. Most of the songs are breakup songs or love songs, but I also got one great song about scoring dope in Spain, and I mean, it's a journalism. This is storytelling, and I have to put myself out there. Last year in South By, I got stuck in a stampede, and throwing a knife around in this crowded place, and then I made a song out of that. So, I mean, out of something really bad comes something really good, hopefully. The hard thing is about writing about happy things like Bob Marley does. That's the hard part.
BFBS.
Could you just take us through a little bit of sort of your creative processes as well?
Oh, that's changed immensely. Nowadays I get to work with so many fantastic songwriters all around the world. So it's changed. I've soaked up a lot of knowledge on how to get started. It could be anything now. But first of all, I think of a story. And then, of course, lyrics. And then, of course, the melody and the progression. But first of all, you always have to start off with a story. That's just how it is. And yeah, the process, I don't know. You get in a room with someone in LA and got 6 hours to come out with a song. That's about it. Or you sit in your kitchen for weeks and months and years and work on it hard. So it could be anything. Best songs. There's no way of writing. People say it takes 1 second. It might do. But then they've prepared it in their brains for years, working on it. So the whole process is changing. And that's how it should be. I'm learning things. And it's an education, songwriting. So and the more sessions, the more work I can get, and the better it will be.
Look! for a minute there, babe. Got me believing in you. Lulu, Lulu. Anything you say, oh, do, Lulu. Anything you'd ever say. Lulu, Lulu. For a minute there, babe. Got me believing in you. Lulu, Lulu. Anything you say, oh, do, Lulu. Anything you say, oh, do, Lulu. Anything you'd ever say. I sleep out on the pavement, baby, could split the single pavement, baby, could do whatever it takes to. Takes two to come undone. Started off like a bit of fun, but I'm still wasting here with you, Lulu. I'm still hanging here. Luna, Luna, for a minute, babe, got me believing in you somehow. Lulu, Lulu, anything you say, oh, do, Lulu. Anything you say, oh, do, Lulu. Anything you say, oh, do, Lulu. Anything you'd ever say.
It's the first ever tune that that I played on my new venture as a solo artist. It's a dark, very horrible story. It's train spotting in a Gothenburgian version, basically, about a part of my life that's, thank God, over with. So yeah, it's a hard one. But that's the song that brought me from one street to another street, and hopefully I'll never have to be on the street again, so I love it very much.
Forces Radio. Albin Lee Melder.
BFBS.
I suppose quite a lot has changed over the last few years with everything that has happened. I mean, what was it like with the reaction to the likes of Lulu when that sort of hit and that went big as well? And...
Well, the thing is, then I was single and I was like, I never had money before, so I just left for Asia, and when I come back, I was on the cover of Spotify, so it was a good week on Tinder. But that's basically the only reaction I could like see. But now after that, found my missus. I had quite a quiet life. I work like I have half of December and the whole of January off, and I don't do anything. That's why I look like Father Christmas, because I've been cooking since then. And then it's just trying to ride the wave next the whole. Next part of the year, you're just trying to do as much work you can. Everything has changed, of course. The biggest thing that's changed for me is that I never did anything I should have done, like worked, paid my rent, stuff like that. I was a horrible, horrible guy, in a way, for a long time. Never took any responsibility. Now that I do this for a living and I'm more or less a professional now, I have to plan, I have to think. I can't just... I'm not a wedding singer anymore. If this is rock and roll, I want my old job back. Because you can't just go out, can't just do whatever, can't say whatever, you can't behave like I used to do. And I'm worried about that, because that was where I got all my stories from. Like I said, you have to be stuck in the stampede to write the song about it. But you know what? I'm not worried. It's just life is life. It will be whatever it is. And I've got plenty of stories from back then. I don't want to like go back there, and hopefully I can start writing about happy things. I'm 30 now. I need to take responsibility, and that's what's changed. Like my parents, my friends, my grandma and granddad, everyone is very proud, and that's probably the biggest thing that happened to me. And it's a big honor, because most singers and artists don't get that privilege.
I was going to say, when you took responsibility, was that when you were almost, when you were reaching the higher ground, when you were going away from being a wedding singer, was that when you did it, or was it before then that you found it?
No, it was actually, absolutely, it was probably after I went to Asia and then went on the Tinder and enjoyed that. But it became boring quite quickly. I started thinking about it properly when I realised I could make a living out of it. What happened was my ex-missus packed me in. And she was a real hipster. She wanted to be in like Danish movies. So I thought, oh, let's do this song, see if I will get her back. Tell us about it. Didn't work. It worked for a while, but so that's how it all started, and then it blew up. I found my management, found my niche, and then I just kept on going. And I mean, that's what you need to do. You need to ride the wave. Woody Allen said famously, he said 90% of success is being there prepared on time. Only 10% is talent, and that's the truth.
When I look at the way that you've come through music and the way that we consume music now is entirely different to what it was probably even 10, 15, 20, never mind talking...
20 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's it. Your Spotify streams and the way it's consumed and how you're in viral charts all over the world, and it's unbelievable.
Was
it like being involved in that? Because that's, I suppose, all you've known.
What happened was I met my mate Paul. Paul was a fan of my... he was a fan of my... my wedding singing and my soul band for years, and he's now my manager. So I'm one of his first clients. He worked at the labels a long time, wanted to do this, and then him being an Arsenal fan, he's also from Southeast London like my family, we hit it off, and then that's all due to him. Like, he's not I don't have anything to do with that. I just do my part and he does his, and he's a genius at it, so I have to thank him for that. And he's better at his job than I am at mine, so that's how I want to keep it. So, must thank him for that. You know, he's a trooper, he works hard. And like I said, Sweden isn't a very big place. If you know what you're doing and you keep slugging away, you're going to get there.
Like you say, they're involved in a team like that.
Yeah, that's you know, what it is.
Yeah, but I just look at this sort of the social culture. I mean, you picked up on it a little bit earlier on with sort of the Instagrams and Twitter and sort of the way of selling it. I suppose that's very different to even what it was sort of 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I only got like all these social media when I broke. It was it's different. You have to do it. It's marketing. It's a way of life. I'm born in 1988. I should have been born in the 20s. I don't really understand the whole concept, but I'm learning. It's highly important, unfortunately.
Yeah, I can totally agree with you there, totally sympathise with you as well, because the typewriter's still a bit new to me, but I'll get there eventually, you know what I mean? I'll get there eventually.
No, but you just have to suck it up and just do it.
If there was a young musician that was sort of listening out now, what sort of advice would you give
to them? I have a great one. Like, well, it depends who you are. Like, I'm not scared until it's too late. But playing on the street is highly important. If you can do busking and make a living out of that, like, you'd make it anywhere. And you'd learn a lot because, you might get smacked in the mouth, you might get chased off by police, you might get problems. Like, if you make it there without a following, without a name for yourself, you'll make it anywhere. So that's how I started. If you wanna do this job, get started, gig everywhere, and stop, like, worrying about how you look on Instagram and write a story, will you? Because no one cares, really. I'm not here to look good. I'm here to tell you a story. It doesn't help. It doesn't hurt looking good, but it's not what we pay for. And my only tip to you is work on your stories, mate. Not your wardrobe or your friends or what cover you did. Just keep on believing in yourself and then gig. I've done thousands of gigs, and that's just how it is. I mean, every pub, every street corner, just go. What are you waiting for? And that's the way how I would say it. But there's, of course, millions of ways to do it. But this was my way. And I used to work in a nightclub. Like, we get 70 quid for playing 4.5 hours. That was a good gig 3 years ago. So, I mean, just get on it. There's people that work constantly and you have to be there. But like I said, tell a great story and people will listen. It's just a good joke. It's a good joke.
It says about that there. I mean, that was only 3 years ago. You were doing that gig in the nightclub.
Yeah, it goes quickly. Anything can happen. You got to believe in yourself, and it's never too late. You're never too old. You're never too fat. If you have a good story, someone very famous told me once, there's only two rules in this business. First one is to write a good song, and then the second one is to follow the first rule. That's the only tip I could give. And of course, the more you play, the more you're going to show yourself. Know what I mean? So just keep on slugging away, and hopefully you get that little window, you know, riding the wave. Barack Obama said that in an interview very very smartly. He said, like, there's so many clever people that could have become president. But during this little window of time, he had the support, the belief, and he was catching the wave. And you have to do that. When it comes, you got to ride it like surfing. You can't be struggling. You must flow with it. When it comes, you got to feel it and you got to go with it. So, like I said, 90% of being successful is to turn up on time, being prepared to do what you do. Of course, you have to be brilliant when you're on stage. But that's the only tip I could give to someone. This business is as hard as any, or even worse. Like, you can't cancel, you can't moan, you can't do anything like that. So, and if you do, people are gonna, then your window's gone, the wave is gone. So, yeah, I'm new in this business. I'm very happy though that it happened when I was closer to 30 than 20. Because if I was 20, I would never have thought like this. I would just have been out and about trying to, yeah, reap the fruits of my my harvest. As I remember now, I plan and I try to make it better and better for every day. So if you're an aspiring musician who wants to make it in this business, you're in for a ride. So just sit with your guitar, practice, and get, or whatever instrument you have, and don't try to make it too perfect, because no one's interested in a perfect song. It is the story that is interesting.
I would die, I wouldn't sleep, I would cry, I would weep, when the night is coming and I'm missing my beat. Knowing we're all in the same boat. So many oceans, so many fishes in one single pond. Knowing never I went wrong. So babe, I'm lying here, thoughts are still lingering in my head. Knowing we're all in the same boat. When the night is coming and I miss you, my babe. Knowing we're all in the same boat. When the night is coming, when the night is coming, when the night is coming, and I miss you, my friend. Knowing we're all in the same boat.
Same boat. I wrote this with my friend, drummer and pianist, Kalle Stenbecken. And Same Boat is a story about when you're lying in bed missing your baby. But really what it's all about is that we're all one flesh, and we're all in the same boat. We are all joined together on this planet, either we understand it or not.
Forces Radio. BFBS. Albin Lee Meldow.
Could it, and you say that, obviously, you're happy it happened then rather than in your 20s, because you see it so often, especially, I mean, even footballers, the yeah, same, you know. It's...
But they start when they're two.
Yeah, that's
so
it.
So they've never done anything else.
That's it.
I mean, what I'm saying is, you have to be, if you're in here, if you're here to be a rock star, get another job, be a wedding singer, because this isn't, that's a myth. Like, of course we have fun, of course we travel the world, but I mean, Michael Bublé said, how is it being famous? And he said, oh, my mum just calls me from Hawaii all the time and I'm stuck in Wilmington. So I mean, that's how it is. It's a job, and it's I'm super honoured to be able to do it, and I'm thankful, but I mean, that's how it is. It's like any other job. And I've had many, many jobs in my life. I've done every job there is, from McDonald's to working in the hospitals, cleaning the floors. And it's the same there, you know. It's, you have to be there in time. You have to do your job. Otherwise, you get sacked, you know. Mm. And this business is even harder. So, it's not what I thought it would be. And I'm enjoying it. Because I want to do this. I want to be professional. I want to do my job. Don't want to be dead in 10 years' time, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So I'm happy. But those rock stars that were all the princes and Keith Richards on the, of the world, that's, that was back then. It's not, you can't do that when you have sessions, work, touring. Taylor Swift is a machine. She does 200 or something gigs a year, never sick, fit, the whole shebang. And I'm not a massive fan of her, but that's a professional and that's what it takes. So I'm a bit gobsmacked by that, actually. But yeah, but it's coming along. And I need to go to the gym.
Don't we all, Albin? Don't we all need to go to the gym at some point? I'll be
at
making
some
it.
Point, that's the thing.
That's next week. Next week, and then it'll be the week after that, and then the week would after that. Really want to ask you, Albin, because you've got such a massive music collection, what was the last thing that you had that you were playing in your headphones?
Oh, today I played, what was it? I See Death Around the Corner with Tupac.
Could you ever have seen yourself in the forces, you know, in the Navy, in the Royal Air Force, or in the Army? And
wouldn't let me in. I'm not a trooper, mate.
You're not a trooper?
Well, I would probably do great. Oh, yeah, I could. Life, we haven't got an army in Sweden.
No?
Well, they have... No.
No, I was going to say, actually, I wasn't sure if you did as soon as I asked that question.
Like, if it is, it's just made up, you know what I mean? We have the Russians and the Finns, and we're not a part of the NATO. I don't know. I used to be a footballer. That's a similar, isn't it? So, I mean, yeah, I'd probably do great. But, yeah, probably. My granddad was in the army and dad was in the army. I mean, it's how it is here. In Sweden, we haven't had a war for 230 years. And politically, we outsourced it a long time ago. So, yeah, I say yes. Probably, yeah. Why not? If I was born into it and I hadn't, that if that would have happened, it would have happened, yeah.
I really appreciate you taking the time out to join us and sharing your musical journey. And lastly as well, thanks for powering through, because you've had a pretty wicked cold as well. I know you've been having to power through that as well.
No worries, mate. That's just how it is. And to all you people listening, I love you all, yeah.
BFBS, original music special on digital radio, FM and satellite TV in the UK.
Online and on air around the world.
This is Forces Radio.